Chapter 29. Before Akshaya left at the end of the week, Jin uploaded new clearance codes and scan docs into the ship's mainframe. "One day, I want to know how you got to be so good at forging Imperial documents,"
Akshaya said.
Hatter stood nearby. "Well, I'm glad this little scam artist is working on our side," he said. "I don't like how close the Empire's gotten to your trade routes."
"You know the Empire is after ore," Jin added. "You'd be better off transporting something else, something the Empire didn't want."
Jin met Hatter's eyes, and she knew he agreed with her. But Akshaya laughed. "One day, you kids will understand that we're basically ants down here on school. The Empire's a giant, and giants don't care about ants, which means we can do whatever we want."
Jin opened her mouth to protest, but Akshaya pulled her into a hug.
"Thanks," she said.
When she stepped back, Jin shuffled nervously on her feet.
"So," she said slowly.
"So?" Akshaya asked.
Jin looked down at the ship's main controls.
"These should last you a good long time," Jin said. "I made a few variations for you as well, and..."
Her voice trailed off. Hatter shot her a confused look, but Jin knew from the sadness in Akshaya's eyes that she understood. Jin had been hired to do a job, and she'd completed the job. She couldn't look at Akshaya or Hatter.
"Do you have more work?"
When neither Akshaya nor Hatter said anything, Jin babbled on. "If not, that's fine. Totally fine. I understand. Maybe I could just hitch a ride to a planet that has some jobs." Her voice trailed off again.
"Of course we want you to stay, weird girl," Hatter said, rolling his eyes.
"I'll need new codes periodically, I'm sure,"
Akshaya added.
"Unless you want to go?"
Jin shook her head, not trusting her voice. They fell into an easy, steady routine. Akshaya was typically gone 2 weeks out of a standard month. First, picking up small shipments of ore from the mining planets too tiny to attract Imperial notice. Then, distributing the refined ore to shipbuilders and other manufacturers. When she was on school, Hatter made the meals and helped Akshaya with scheduling and bills, while Jin checked the codes and updated them. When Akshaya was gone, Jin and Hatter had free rein to do as they pleased, which lately had meant flying. Jin had to admit that she was the bad influence. Akshaya's hangar housed the main freighter, but there was a small planet hopper there as well, one used for quick runs in the local system. Jin made herself feel better about taking the planet hopper out by saying she and Hatter never broke atmosphere. They technically never left school. But she wasn't sure how long Hatter would be satisfied with playing in the clouds. Every time he sat down in the pilot's chair, his spine straightened, his eyes focused on the horizon. His hands took the controls as if they belonged nowhere else. When Hatter started up the planet hopper, he always breathed a little sigh of relief, as if he'd been waiting for that moment and nothing more. He had learned to fly, he told her, from his sister. After their father died, Tanith had found solace in flight, and she had taken Hatter along. When addiction claimed Tanith, however, Hatter's mother had emerged from her grief with an even stronger fear of losing her son. She'd taken over the transport business and grounded him on school for good. The repulsor lift hummed, and they hovered over the hangar floor before Hatter eased the planet hopper out of the bay and shot into the air so fast it left Jin breathless.
"What I don't get," Hatter said as they soared over the little town, "is why Mum is so convinced I'll get bloodburn. It's so rare. The chances are minuscule, honestly."
Jin didn't answer. She understood Akshaya's motivation. If she had her mother back, she'd want to hold on to her for as long as possible, too.
"Once I'm 18, Hatter mumbled. His hand hovered over the hyperspace controls. Most small shuttles, like the Planet Hopper, didn't have a hyperspace drive. But this one had been retrofitted by Hatter's father before he died. Hatter had never tried to leave school's orbit, but Jin noticed the way his hand always lingered near the drive's sequence commands. Hatter sighed and shifted in his seat, flipping a lever and sending the little shuttle into a stomach-churning spin. Jin laughed and pushed his broad shoulders until Hatter reluctantly brought the Planet Hopper back into a steady arc. Jin propped her feet up on the dash. Hatter didn't need a co-pilot, not anymore. She glanced sideways at him, and for a moment, she let herself imagine that this was her future. She and Hatter could be a team. Maybe they could expand Akshaya's operation, going farther into the outer rim for shipments, exploring new planets. Hatter turned the shuttle around, aiming for the ground. "What are you doing?" Jin asked. This was the shortest trip they'd made. He looked more depressed than she'd ever seen him. It feels like I'm on a leash," he said. "You ever feel that way? Like you can't do what you really want? Like you have to be someone for someone else, and that means you can't be you? That you can never have what you really want?" "I've seen so much blood," Jin wanted to say. "And I remember the face of everyone who's died because of me." Instead, Jin stood up and moved behind Hatter. He shot her a curious look. But Jin didn't look down at him. She put her arms over his shoulders, her hands clasped around his on the controls. She looked straight ahead, through the viewport and into the sky. And after a moment, Hatter looked up and out too. Jin leaned forward, her body against his back, and gripped the controls through his hands, pulling them back. The shuttle's nose tipped upward, higher and higher. Jin could feel the joy thrumming through Hatter as the shuttle pushed through the thinning atmosphere, the bright blue sky turning white, flames licking the ablation shields. Her grip tightened around his, her eyes growing wide with excitement. The little shuttle burst out of the atmosphere, and the entirety of the universe stared down at them. Space was black in a way Jin could never quite describe. When she flew with Saw, that's all she ever noticed about space, the great black emptiness of it all. But this time, her arms still around Hatter, she could see only the stars, the innumerable stars, white pinpricks of light dancing beyond their grasp, each one a promise of a new world, a new adventure, a new hope. "If you want something, take it," she said, her breath a whisper in Hatter's ear. "If there's one thing I've learned, it's that you have to live each day as if it's your last." It sounded so trite, but she knew it to be true. Each choice could be the last one. "And I choose this," she thought. "I choose the stars and peace, and you." She felt him grow very, very still. Something inside her thudded, hard, and Jin jerked back as if Hatter's skin was made of flame. She collapsed into the co-pilot's chair, careful to keep her gaze on the stars outside, not on the way Hatter looked at her.